And we're back at Channel 9 Live. Welcome and join us at channel9.msdn.com. There is an entry there where you're able to go off and to ask questions. I'm joined on stage by Julie White.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Have you been up on the stage before on Channel 9?
Not on Channel 9. This is my first ever.
Wow, because I've been seeing you an awful lot in a lot of the keynotes of late.
Right.
Tech Ed Houston. You know, ages ago, build stuff, and obviously the one that was up here just recently here in Barcelona.
Right.
You know, for those that don't know Julia White, tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure, Julia White. No, I've been at Microsoft 13 years.
Okay.
And the past, let's see, almost seven, I've been in the Office division.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was in our cloud and enterprise. It was called Server and Tools back then.
Right.
So I've done mostly kind of server kind of stuff, BizTalk server for a long time, and then I led the Exchange server. So I'm email-y junkie at heart. And then I guess almost coming up on 3 years ago now, picked up Office 365, Office clients, and moved into that realm of the world.
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, the 365 stuff, and Office 365 and Office in general, to me, it shows a lot of really cool technologies that are coming to fruition that are directly applicable and accessible by people, everyday people. Everybody across the world. Like, if I think about it, I could get an Office 365 personal subscription for my father, my mother-in-law, whoever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And they have full access to be able to do what they want to with their cloud storage.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to go off and have access to web-based applications, potentially.
Yep.
They have access to mailbox, stuff like that, too.
Yes.
Including some really cool technology that no longer is new or cool anymore, but I still think it is. The ability to have software installed in your system, but then have it updated on the fly with
right.
no IT support that's going
right.
on in the back end.
Yeah.
So all that stuff is all part of the realm in which you work.
Yes, all of that. And it is true, both for consumers who had no ability to get this kind of technology in the past. Like, mm-hmm. they're not running their own servers and doing any of that sort. But now you just have this simple single subscription, mm-hmm. and you have everything from your Skype world minutes to your content on every device because it's sitting in the cloud and you can access it everywhere. But similarly, on the business side, I think about, you know, now a small business who had, you know, really rudimentary capabilities before, they mm-hmm. literally can have an enterprise infrastructure.
Right.
And, you know, with the single subscription, they got the client, they got storage, they have, you know, webcasts and web meetings and everything in between.
I was about to say, I remember before I joined Microsoft, I'm a 10-year person at Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
Before that, I remember setting up some of my small business friends and my consultants as virtual independent offices, but they would have to look after a co-location system, have to have authentication they could get to, set up Exchange
right.
with Outlook Web Access and everything else like that. It was cumbersome.
It was.
And now it's just simply get the subscription, self-provisioned, potentially, and then you go
absolutely.
In and fill out the appropriate details on your device of choice, and then you have access to your mail and account and everything else.
Yeah.
That is
very
cool.
Simple and getting easier. And actually, one of the things I should just let people know about, too, is starting September, we actually kind of basically looked at the deployment and getting started with Office 365 services, mm-hmm. just essentially a capability of the service. So now when you, as a business customer, you sign up for Office 365, we walk you through getting your directory connected, we get the mail migration done. So literally not just buying the service, but getting you up and running is just now baked into the offers we have as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it even easier than it ever has been before. So
you did a little bit of a demo that was happening today. It was near the end of the keynote with Mr. Zander and everybody else that was up on stage, some of you are there. What would you say would be some of the coolest things that you did for that particular demo that you hear from the attendees that you've potentially talking to so far this morning and this afternoon that's been impactful for them? Like, what's some of the cool stuff that you're out going off and showing?
Yeah, well, all the technology I showed this morning was about, you know, security, control, management.
It's very, very IT pro focused, if you will.
Of course. That's who's here.
Security, data protection, that sort of stuff.
Well, I'd say, I don't have an Office 365 business conversation that doesn't include questions around data handling, security, do you meet certain compliance requirements?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, you have to feel confident with all of those things before you're ready to say, yeah, okay, I'm ready to move to Office 365 and
right.
put my business critical data with you and have my users access information from there. And so that was really the conversation we had this morning around everything from mobile device management for the Office for iPad apps,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be fantastic. That must be probably the number one request I've gotten from customers,
businesses
around, since we launched those apps, they're like, that's awesome, when can I manage them? So thrilled that that's not far away and demonstrating what's capable there. And then when you add Intune on top of that, even getting things like, you can't deciding which apps you can save as, which where you can copy and paste content to and from, and making sure you know content only goes to the right apps. Mm-hmm. So that aspect of it, and then everything from you know data loss prevention capabilities, things that we've had in email for a while. Like you might know from work when you're trying to send something sensitive, you get a policy tip that says, "Hey, you're trying to send social security numbers or Microsoft right. confidential content. It's going to be automatically rights protected." Taking that if you have an email and taking it to all the content sitting in SharePoint Online as well as OneDrive for Business. So as you're in the future loading up a document to OneDrive for Business, and now with unlimited storage, you can do it to your heart's content.
Right.
Then you get that same experience of like you might get a policy tip that says, "Hey, this is actually sensitive information. We're going to go ahead and protect that." Mm-hmm. Or actually, you shouldn't post it there. It's not the right level of security. You post it over here instead. So.
Very, very awesome stuff. You mentioned, obviously, the iPad as an example. I know one thing mm-hmm. that comes up when I'm having conversations with EBCs or with individual customers, talking yeah. about touch-based office type things. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see where things are going. Obviously, if you can't talk about this, I completely understand. Don't worry about this. No disclosure, that sort of stuff. But have you been getting good feedback from people that are using the iPad version of mm-hmm. the Office to be able to say, this is working, this is not working, and then you have the flexibility to be able to go off and change things, right?
Yeah, so I'd say out the gates, great feedback on the apps. I think people were pleasantly surprised at how awesome they are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I think people thought they were going to be crummy, but they're awesome. So I think that was the most feedback I got after the launch event back in March. Like, well, these are great. I'm like, well, they're called Office. They're going to be great. Yeah. We're not going to put our name on something less than that. But to your point exactly, I'd say that right when we launched, the number one piece of feedback we got was, I can't print. I want to be able to print from my iPad. And so 45 days later, we rolled an update, and print was added.
Oh, okay.
And we're continuing to do that. You're going to see new updates come really soon as well with a new set of capabilities. And I mean, it's a great part of, app model delivery, but also being connected to the cloud of, mm-hmm. and a single subscription. We can just give you the latest and greatest all the time. That's true for the desktop apps that are already cloud connected, the iPad apps, and then all the future mobile apps we're working on.
Wow. So. Just curious, you did a whole section on security and compliance and yep. that sort of stuff that was there. Do you find that there's an awful lot of resistance to that if they just don't understand it? If you're outside of North America, outside the United States, is that one of the discussions you end up having an awful lot with customers?
I'd say the concern around security, privacy, compliance is global, for sure. But there's definitely pockets in different geographies. Germany, certainly.
Yes.
Lots of security conversations I have and with my German customers. But even places like Canada and Brazil and other geographies, Australia. Mm-hmm. So reasonably global, but there's certainly hot spots. And the reality is, different geographies do have different requirements. And so the way we look at it from a compliance perspective, right? And so what we've done is essentially, as we've met different compliance requirements like EU model clauses that mm-hmm. we support, or HIPAA in the US, or this new Article 29 privacy handling, all these different things. There's fundamentally components and requirements you have to meet to get these certifications. And so what we've done is essentially have our long, long list of hundreds of different aspects of certification that we've met. And so that when a German customer comes and says, "Hey, in my industry in Germany, you need to get to this requirement." We okay. say, "Great, let me compare that to what we've already done. All right, there's a difference of 3 or 4 things. Great, let's go work on those." And so it's not like we have to, every time a customer comes with another compliance requirement, we start over.
Right.
We actually just start from our repository, because a lot of times these have a lot of similar things.
Very similar, and also obviously, let's just say that legal legislation mm-hmm. and requirements are not exactly as fast moving as self-updating right. applications.
That's true. There can be a difference on that one.
It can be a couple of lag time of maybe decades or at least a couple of years potentially in different places,
yeah.
I know.
But it's actually been a place that we've had customers really working with us, too. And we've got a lot of financial institutions using Office 365 mm-hmm. and particularly some European banks that have partnered with us really closely and said, "We're going to go with you to the different legislative bodies and work with you on how do we define this." Because a lot of the compliance requirements and the laws around this, they're not on the books. They're more of interpreted mm-hmm. or policy-based things. And so working with them to say, "Let's define what we really need to meet versus what people perceive, and then we can go meet it." So it's actually been a place where a lot of our customers are helping engage with us to get it done, because they want to move to the cloud.
Right.
And they're motivated to work with the local regulations to help do that.
Can you think back in the last little while of particular customers that are using or doing some really unique things with Office 365? in particular? Maybe different implementations or different segments that they're working with or something?
Yeah. I have a funny story that I was just speaking to a customer 2 weeks ago who does solar panels in North America. And they have Office 365 rolled out, and they have Link on their mobile devices. Mm-hmm. And the guy was saying that they have people who go out to the solar panel sites and have to check, make sure everything's working. And one of the recent examples they had was a guy was out and he found goats. on top, I said goats, on top of the solar panels, like, and was
on top of
sitting like hang, because it must have been warm, I guess. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So the goats were covering the solar panels or sitting on top of them, and he wasn't sure what to do about this. So he pulls that Link on his phone. He does a video call with his folks back home and says, "Hey, I've got this goat problem. Anyone know what to do?" And then so the guys back, they put on a Yammer. Yeah, and they asked, like, is anyone an idea how you deal with goats, or what's the, you know, what do you, how do you work with them? And someone in the organization knew about goats and replied back and gave them some tips on how to get the goats off of the solar panels.
Don't look at them directly in the eye. Back away slowly as you're dealing with them. Yeah. And that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I was like, you know, it turns out someone in your company probably knows about goats. And between using Link to get the message across and Yammer to post some social information and find it out, it worked. So that was one of my more unique customer stories.
Now, how about within the Office organization, within Office 365, the realm in which you live right now at Microsoft, what about some interesting ways that they've gone ahead and the culture has changed? Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned that you were an email person at heart.
Right.
How has that changed now with some of the new things like Yammer as an example, Office Drive,
OneDrive.
OneDrive for business, that sort of stuff. How has that changed in the last little while for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, coming again from the Exchange team, which we love to send email.
Yes, it's all about email.
there's no better way to communicate and collaborate, apparently. I would actually say that I really didn't think this would happen, because coming from this part of the world too, of Exchange, I can't remember the last time I received an email attachment, at least not from anyone on my team.
Really?
I occasionally get one from other organizations, and I yell at them and shame them. It's one of those things where once you realize, A, how easy it is to just drag and drop or save to your OneDrive for business, and then share a link, it's easier than sharing an attachment, frankly. Just go and do it from the Office app, or I just drag and drop. And then the benefit, though, is now finally you have one version. Think about hours I spent in my life getting like the five versions back in email from each different person, and then having to manually figure out which changes were most recent and who did what, and hours of my life spent. And that's gone. There's one source. And literally, people send me an attachment from other parts of the company. I save it to OneDrive and I share it back to them. And I'm not going to send an email attachment. It's not going to happen. So, and then to help facilitate that for the rest of the people who have not enlightened themselves with this is a new capability coming in Outlook, in the web first and in the desktop, is when I go to send an email attachment, it'll actually look and feel like I'm grabbing an attachment, but it says, do you really want to attach this or do you want to upload it to OneDrive for business? And I click OneDrive for business. And then the best part is whoever I send it to, gets permissions.
Oh, okay.
So the permissioning's all handled. So that literally, like if you're just the habitual email attacher, you have a workflow that with the same amount of work, you get to share from OneDrive instead.
Nice. I just got to share this with you right here.
Yes.
This is Larry Larson. This document was emailed versionitis about 12 times.
Oh.
So I'm now mocking him that it should have stayed on the OneDrive for business.
Yeah, shaming you.
He tried. He was having networking issues, so he did have to pull it out to be able to meet some deadlines, but that's an example.
You can work offline,
of how
too, you know.
I have been silently evangelizing using these different technologies myself within our own group that's over there.
Now, if you really want to shame him, you're going to take out your phone and use Office Lens to take a picture of that and then make it back into a file and share that.
So that could work.
You can round trip that for him.
That could work. Now, don't forget, if you are watching online live at channel9.msdn.com, you are able to go ahead and to fill out a form, have a question, it'll come up in a nice lovely prompter screen up there in the middle to be able to have Julia answer your question potentially.
Great.
Now, one thing that we have, and this was circulated internally but also externally as well, was officially, I don't know what the term is, but like one of the Microsoft people. Where they've done profile about different people.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was you.
Yep.
And I happened to notice that you were standing in front of a Jeep.
I was.
So is that a legitimate, or is that a posed thing? Is that a real thing?
Other than asking me where I got my leather jacket for the Office for iPad launch event, the number two question was like, is that your Jeep? So it is my Jeep. It is a gorgeous, bright orange 1976 CJ5 Jeep. It's lifted with big wheels on it, got a winch on the front, the whole thing. And
big high-low jack in the back to be able to...
Yeah, totally. I actually got it when I was 18.
Oh, yeah?
So I've had this Jeep forever.
Nice. And it's a CJ, so it's one of the originals as far as
CJ5.
The look and feel for what it is.
It rides like a CJ.
Nice. The reason why I ask you this is because I've had a TJ when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had kids, and then we changed through different things, and now we've gone back, and now that I've moved here to Redmond, I've got one of the Wranglers four-door versions, which is quite nice. I haven't been able to convince my wife to be able to let me jack it up or to get bigger 35s on it or anything like that. So maybe I'll connect her with you to let me
It's not the safest car. I'll just serve the vehicle. I'll just be clear.
It's definitely a lot of fun to drive where it happens to fit.
And mine with this giant V8 gets about 6 miles to the gallon.
So, oh, yes. Yeah. Well, this the 2012s are the first time they had the Pentastar engine. It's a new engine. So I'm actually getting about, I want to say 16.
Ah, see? It's 16 a lot better
miles
than my six.
On city and about 20 or so on highway. Which
needless
is
to say, it's not my primary vehicle.
No. If someone from the high-tech group or Microsoft R&D wants to go ahead and to drop some nice electric lithium-ion batteries and engines like that,
perfect.
I would sure volunteer my Jeep for some R&D projects.
That's a good cause. It's a good cause.
Very nice. Again, if you have any questions, you're interested, you're more than welcome to at channel9msdn.com for Julia White. It's coming up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of...
Well, you were also asking about the different ways we work. So the one other one I would mention to you that's changed my life, and I think most of the teams as well, is a new app experience we call Delve that we released into Office 365 very recently.
And that was the code name that used to be called Oslo, right?
Yeah, formerly known as Oslo.
Okay, so...
Now Delve.
So I started to look at that.
Okay.
And so now it's my homepage internally and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's finding out all sorts of really wild stuff. Like all of a sudden, email conversations that I have kind of bubble up in there for people that I'm communicating with. Is it that smart to know what's going on in the background?
It is that smart. No, it literally has changed the way I work 100% because that's where I go to find everything. Right. But so just to explain, what runs behind Delve is essentially what we call the Office Graph.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything you do when you're in Office 365, it knows that. So it knows the meetings you're in, the people in the meetings with you, any content that was shared in the meeting, what content you're working on, what you've shared and what you're working on at others, as well as emails you're sending, attachments in those emails, like all those things. So there's two kinds of things. There's content, like email body, email attachment, documents. Then there's signals. So who do you respond to? What are you following? What are you editing? What are you liking? Who are you meeting with? Those are all signals. So it takes those two things, puts them together into this intelligence, and basically an invisible intelligence layer called the Office Graph. And that's what makes it smart. And then Delve is literally just an app that's built on top of the Office Graph API set.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates and this Delve is about content. So when you go to Delve, it says, hey, this is the thing that it's most relevant to you right now based on your work right now. So as you go through the day, as you open Delve in the morning, it'll look one way. And then as you go through your day and you meet with people and you edit stuff, there's new stuff there and different.
Like, five people that are on your regular contact into groups have edited this following document that's over there. I was like, oh, that's where that document is.
Yeah.
It's discovery, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter because it's in SharePoint, it's in OneDrive, it doesn't matter where it sits.
And so my concern was I started to see a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't know if I was supposed to see stuff or not. So it's probably a two-edged sword, right?
Yeah. Whatever permissions exist, whatever's been set for a SharePoint site or for who you've shared with OneDrive or who the email's to, the permissioning's maintained. But I think what's very common is that, maybe there's a big group of people who have access to a SharePoint site, but maybe not all of them are active right now. So as you put a document out there and suddenly maybe the whole division can see that. But there was no way to actually find that before. It was always buried in some link that you deleted years ago. But now you're like, oh, there it is in Delve. Half of my team is working on this content I didn't know about. So that's why suddenly you're seeing things that are relevant to you, but you would never have found in the past because it's on some SharePoint site you haven't been to in 2 years. But so it's that fine line between like that's awesome and that's a little bit creepy, right? And try and stay on the awesome side of that. But it's the permissioning things are maintained, but sometimes you don't realize who you're permissioning to. So you got to know that too.
Well, I did not know that it actually changed every single time you open it up based on your interactions of that day and everything else.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're doing real work. If you're sitting, if you're not doing anything, it's not going to update. But
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's the idea in general. Like we got to move out of manual tools and manual processes. There's too much information for that.
Make it automated.
Right.
Make it so that basically, it just happens, and it intuitively knows what you're looking for and who you're working with to be able to make it more powerful for you.
Right. I mean, it has to be basically relevant-based and personal. Otherwise, you know, there's no way you can keep up with all this stuff. So, and also just for context too, it's essentially the same fundamental kind of graph concept that powers Cortana. So that's, you know, how Cortana's learning about you. She's graphing the world's information,
right,
you know, via Bing and other, and what the Office graph is the same idea, same machine learning ideas, but they're applied to what's in Office 365.
Mm-hmm.
But same way Cortana learns about you, the Office graph. So in terms of similar alignment there.
How can folks that want to get more up to date on stuff that's coming out in the next generations of Office, that sort of stuff, how can they stay connected to what's going on? Because I know that the Office team has gone ahead and published like this big long roadmap of where things are going in the future. How can they stay in tune with what's going on?
Yeah, so we did about, 6 months ago or so, we went to a fully public roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
So you can literally go out to our public roadmap, just search on it, or go to the Office site, and you can see we have different categories of things. We have some that are in development, and so you see what's kind of farther out. We have what's being rolled out. So right now, Delve sits in the rolled out list because we've announced it. We begin the worldwide rollout. We start with the early customers and then roll out from there. And then there's the recently released. And so you can kind of go see categories. And I think right now there's probably 120 things out there on the list right now, and kind of keep it fresh. So you know, the things I announced today are now on the roadmap.
Okay.
So you see that. So want to know what's happening? Go to the roadmap and check it out. And that was actually after a lot of customer feedback of saying, "Hey, I love this new cloud model. It's great. I get all this stuff whenever it's ready to ship."
Right.
They're like, "Wow, there's a lot of stuff coming at me. How do I know I'm ready? And how do I make sure my users are trained and I'm ready when they want to ask questions and I know how to take advantage of this stuff?" And that was what was the motivation to move to the public roadmap. So we can say, yeah, here's all this stuff coming and you get to prepare yourself. And most of the things that are listed, if you click through, there's resources to train your end users on them, help prepare yourself, take advantage of these new things. So kind of connected with different resources, because that's probably, it's funny, a couple years ago when we first started Office 365, many years ago now, I used to get a lot of feedback of like, "Microsoft, you're not innovating fast enough, you got to move faster." And now and that wasn't that long ago. And now my customer conversations are like, "Oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff you're bringing out." I'd rather have that problem, but
definitely.
But the public roadmap's the single source of truth for what's coming into the service and the clients as well.
And is there something that people can sign up for, not just for information, but also to be able to try the new stuff as it comes out too?
Yeah, that's a great
point. Things. For instance, we have the Insiders program for Windows that just came out with the last version of Windows 10 that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something similar for that for Office as well?
There is. What we have for Office 365 is, we call it First Release,
mm-hmm.
and it's a program you can go and sign up for and say, "I want to be first in line when new stuff comes through." And not everything goes through there, not little tiny stuff, but the bigger things like Delve comes through there. And so they sign up and say, "Hey, it can be your real tenant if you want to just bring it to your organization." Or a lot of customers have a test tenant in the first release program,
so
they can kind of see it. A lot of our partners,
people
who want to get that hands-on, make sure everything works just like they wanted, and get ready to train other people. So you can sign up for that, and then you get a guaranteed at least 3 weeks advanced before it rolls out to the worldwide. But oftentimes it can be longer than that too.
Mm-hmm.
So for people on the cutting edge, that's a great program for you. And then we'll continue to, for our on-premises products, as we move towards them later in 2015, have a more traditional tap and beta.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Anything in particular here in Tech at Barcelona that you would recommend people, as far as a session, which should go out and see, perhaps?
Mm.
Any, you want to call it any Office sessions at all?
Yeah.
Something I didn't
talk about a lot, but it's probably some of the biggest news we have this week is around our developer capabilities.
Oh, okay.
So, Office 365 is a great app, it's a great experience for users, but it's also, I think, kind of secretly becoming, one of the most robust developer platforms as
mm-hmm.
well. And so, we just announced and rolled out our brand new, first ever Office 365 SDK for iOS. So you can build native iPhone, iPad apps that
mm-hmm.
then connect straight into the content and the information sitting in Office 365 and build those apps. We also updated our Android SDK that we've had in market already, and some new other kind of new APIs into email and content. And then also a great new capability of when you're going to Office 365 in the browser experience, there's basically an app picker that says, "Hey, do you want to go to OneDrive or do you want to go to Outlook?" Outlook, or do you want to go to Delve? And now it actually has an you can extend it and say, hey, add other apps from developers. So mm-hmm. if you're, you know, you can add your own line of business app, or you can go add an app from the marketplace. So awesome. You're basically new real estate for developers to get their apps kind of right front and center in the 365 experience too.
Very
so,
cool.
So if you haven't learned about that, there's a lot to know there.
I think it's on day two schedule, which if it was electronic, I would tell you what it was, but it's paper-based right now. I think we're actually going to have some people on talking about that tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Here on stage. That's
excellent.
Actually very, very cool. Well, we are just about out of time. I will say, you know what, I'll actually let you go and get back to your busy schedule. Thank you for taking some time to come down and chat with us here
great
today.
Great to be here. Thanks for my first ever live
first
Channel
9
show.
And obviously, there you go. You
I
can
get to
have
take
at
take
least
my man.
One of those take home if you wanted to. You can maybe even pierce a hole in them. You can hang them from your rearview mirror in the CJ if you wanted to.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Awesome.
Thank you
great.
Very much, Julia.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Much appreciate you came down.
Take care.
And we'll be back with Patch and Switch coming up, I do believe, if I can find Switch. Or is it Patch? I don't know.